We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's April 6th, it's 2021, and we have 8 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by Keith Eyster, Eyes819. You guys might know him from getting beat by him on DraftKings and FanDuel, or by content here at RotoGrinders. Keith, how's it going, my friend?
Going good. Ton going on here recently. We were just talking about it compared to where we were at last year. Now we can't even find time in the day to do everything we got going on. So, yeah, glad baseball's back, ready to get into it.
Yeah, April is crazy right now. And I think this is kind of how the schedule is going to go for the next couple years. So we'll have to kind of see how that like pans out. But definitely glad that baseball is back. We have 8 games to talk about here on today's slate, so let's jump right in. We start with the Mets and Phillies. 9 total in this game. Mets 145 favorite here. We have Marcus Stroman against Chase Anderson. Any interest here in Marcus Stroman?
I don't mind the price. I don't love the upside. Against this Phillies offense that has a ton of power in this ballpark. He's not my favorite pitcher on the slate, and I don't really see the upside for tournaments. So I'm not sure we need him on this slate.
Yeah, we have a lot more pitching than we did yesterday. This ballpark, like you said, obviously a tough ballpark for any pitcher. So DeGrom pitched well. Stroman obviously missed all of last season in 2019. You know, Stroman was a guy with a 4 XFIP. His strikeout rate was around 20%, very league average-isk. He did get guys to chase a lot, didn't give up a ton of power, and induced a lot of ground balls. So, you know, he's always someone that I really like against teams that don't have a ton of fly ball guys. And, you know, Hoskins and Didi, these guys are big time fly ball guys. So worried a little bit about Stroman, but I think he's okay. Just he's probably not going to end up making the cut. I do like 8,600 is like right in that range where I think he's almost playable. The other side of this game, Chase Anderson, not somebody that I typically will roster. Do you have any interest in Chase Anderson?
No chance. I think the Mets are probably top 3 or 4 offense in the NL. I mean, adding Lindor to an already pretty powerful lineup Yeah, no interest in Anderson for me.
Yeah, so when I'm looking at this matchup for Anderson, he's very reverse splitsy, and he always really has been kind of reverse splitsy, and there's enough right-handed power that I really don't want to play him. And last year, like, he wasn't splitsy at all. You just see he stunk. Like, he was striking guys out or getting hit really hard. Really high ISOs, really high hard hit rates, but an above average strikeout rate last season. So, you know, that is obviously something to kind of note here. You know, if it was yesterday's slate, we would be potentially looking at Chase Anderson and hoping that he just didn't get beat up too bad here. But in this spot, I don't think Anderson's in play. Let's talk Mets bats. You already kind of talked about how talented this lineup is. What's your thoughts on the Mets today?
I love the Mets today. I mean, I would go as deep as, I mean, I think all eight hitters you can play. You talked about his release reverse splits. So I love Alonso. The lefty bats, I mean, even though he's been reverse splits in his career, they still hold the platoon advantage. They're all very talented. So, I mean, full stack is in play for sure.
Yeah, really like Conforto here too. These guys that, you know, typically will hit the ball hard. If Dom Smith is in that like five spot, that little like four man of like Lindor, Conforto, Alonso, and Dom Smith seems really juicy in this ballpark. You know, left-handed power in this ballpark is fantastic. They built this ballpark for Ryan Howard. And, you know, when you get left-handed power bats in here, you always have to have interest in them. Anything standing out here to you for the Phillies?
As much as I don't really want to play Stroman, he's not a guy I want to pick on. He limits hard contact, decent control. You could take a stab on some one-off power, but I'm not looking to stack him. If you want to throw in a Harper or Didi or somebody like that, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like Harper is someone that hits the ball up in the air a lot. Hoskins is someone that hits the ball up in the air a lot. Those would be the two guys that I'd be looking to target against Stroman, who is mostly a ground ball pitcher. Well, from what we saw in 2019, obviously he didn't pitch last season. So, you know, you have to be a little concerned with that. But I think if you want to play, those are the two guys, maybe even throw like Didi in there if you want to do like a three-man stack or something along those lines. Moving on, we got Tampa at Boston, Tyler Glasnow against Martin Perez. Any interest here in Glasnow?
Yeah, Glasnow is going to be in the cash game conversation for me, despite not having a terribly long leash. I think the price is fair, 9,100 on DraftKings. Boston had some trouble getting going. Looks like they put up a few runs tonight, finally, but just a depleted offense from what we have expected out of this team recently. So, yeah, I think Glasnow is in the cash game conversation.
Yeah. Boston's lineup is not as good as it has been in the past, that's for sure. Glasnow, obviously someone that could go out and pitch lights out, so he has to be someone that you're definitely considering on this slate. I worry about like pitch count, you know. I will say like it was good to see him throw six innings on opening day. He looked really good. It was against the Marlins, but we kind of expected that, but man, he was throwing gas. So that's obviously a plus. You know, a guy that's throwing over 100 consistently, always has upside in majors. Going to the other side of this one, Perez. Man, the Red Sox, not only are their bullpen bad and the lineup's not great, they're starters, man. It's going to be a rough year to be a Red Sox fan.
Perez has a price where I don't hate taking a stab on it. Tampa Bay is not as dangerous against lefties. I mean, you neutralize Meadows a little bit, you neutralize Yoshi a little bit. Perez is like one of the cheapest pitchers on the slate. So for a tournament, I don't hate it, but not a ton of interest.
Yeah, but they could still bring in like Brasu, Diaz, some of these other like right-handed guys.
Yeah, Rosarena is obviously a huge threat. And Adames is pretty good against lefties too, I think. So, yeah,
Margo,
it'd be tournament only for me, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to talk you off of it. I'm just saying, like, Perez is someone that last year he gave up a ton of hard contact and just couldn't throw strikes. So, you know, that's obviously something that you're worried about against any team. And, you know, this is a team, Tampa's a team that definitely struck out a lot more against left-handed pitching than they did against right-handed pitching. So if Perez was like a really strong lefty, I think we'd be considering a little bit more. 6,700 makes sense. Let's talk Tampa bats. We kind of just mentioned the guys that you're potentially scared of, you know, if you're playing Perez here.
Yeah, as much as I was thinking about Perez for tournaments, I love the Tampa Bay right-handed bats for tournament stacks. I mean, any of the righties, Margot, Rosarena, Diaz, Brousseau, if he cracks the lineup, Adames, I mean, all of them are in play. Meadows could get a hold of one against the lefty, or potentially if Perez only lasts four innings or something, he might have two or three at bats against the bullpen. So yeah, I'm interested in the Tampa bats.
Yeah. Rosarena crushed left-handed pitching. If Brasu is in there, he crushed left-handed pitching last season too. Small sample size, only 68 at plate appearances, but 328 ISO, 409 WOBA, 67% hard hit rate, only a 3% soft contact rate and a 50% fly ball rate. So you definitely like him when he's on the road more than when he's in Tampa. So it's a good spot for him. Anybody against Glass now that you're willing to take a shot on here for the Red Sox?
No, not really. Devers is the one guy I'd look at, but his price is up there. Not much interest here.
Yeah, like, there's no cheap guys. Like, right, you're facing Glass now. JD Martinez got a price increase. Like, I think the only guy that I would potentially take shots on here is, like, Verdugo at 3,700. But I don't even know if I want to use him as, like, a one-off. I think there's going to be better one-offs on this slate in general.
And Tampa has a really good bullpen, too. So it's not like you can get Glasnow out of there in five innings and then have time to do work. It's dicey.
We move on. We got the Brewers and the Cubs. Freddy Peralta against Alberto Alazole. I always mess his name up.
Alazole from the Cubs fan.
Yeah, I know you watch way more Cubs games than I do. I was watching them play. Freddy Peralta, any interest in him?
Huge strikeout upside. It's a Cubs lineup that will strike out a little bit. I don't think he will go very deep in this game. He has control issues. And he's right in that mid tier of price range where you kind of need, I don't know, five or six innings and six or seven strikeouts out of him. I do kind of like him as a tournament pitcher.
I do think it's interesting. This game has a 9.5 total. It's a pick'em game. So it's already telling us, like, wind's not going to be blowing in. This, you know, Vegas is thinking this game is going to be really close with a pick'em game. And, you know, Freddy Peralta is a guy that has a massive ceiling. Just is today the day. And I mean, I think he's in play because I think a lot of builds are going to be like two of the 9K plus guys together because there are value bats and it's not that hard to play two of these 9K guys together. So I think that's a lot of the build. And I think when people start paying down, they might go like Paxton, you know, and try to chase that ceiling. So like, in that aspect of things, I think we have to just consider him, you know, more of just for his strikeout ability than anything else. But this is not the best matchup in the world. So Alazole on the other side of this one, you know, you're obviously super concerned about wind and all that stuff when you're at, you know, Wrigley. And this is a guy that really didn't induce a ton of ground balls last season. A lot of line drives, a lot of fly balls, showed some strikeout upside in the small sample that we saw. He's another guy that I'm just worried about, like, how deep he's really going to work into this game.
This is a really interesting game for me. And I really hope we don't get extreme conditions on either side of the weather here. obviously Wrigley is a place that you always have to pay attention to what's happening with the weather. So if you get 20 miles an hour winds blowing out, you're going to want to play both of the offenses. If you get 20 miles an hour blowing in, you're going to want to play both of the pitchers. And I think both of these pitchers are so volatile that I want to take stabs on both of them in tournaments, as long as the wind isn't just howling out and it's going to be easy for him to give up some pop-up home runs. You mentioned Alzolay's strikeout upside. This is a talented guy. I mean, he throws 95 plus. He's got good breaking stuff. He shows a changeup. I'm willing to take some shots here at this price against this lineup. I think the Brewers are a little bit overrated from what they showed 2 years ago. Last year, they were pretty bad. So I think that's closer to their true talent level. I'm willing to take some shots on Alzolay here.
Yeah, 7,400. You know, if the wind is okay, I think both of these guys have, the strikeout ability on both sides. But I also think, like, they're two guys that could potentially give up some hard hits. And, you know, that's always something that's super concerning. Let's talk Brewers bats. Anything standing out to you here?
Yeah, it's going to be the lefties for me that I'm going to target. Yelich is the one that obviously stands out. Shaw, if he cracks the lineup, Vogelbach, if he's in there, I don't mind chasing some power there. Narvaez, well, I'm not sure what his price is. He was super cheap today, just hit a home run a little bit ago, so I wouldn't have any problem going right back to him. Hira is somebody that can hit either side of the plate, so interest there as well.
I will say, like, from what we saw on the small sample size from him last season, he throws a lot of cutters to lefties, and Christian Yelich mashes cutters. So, you know, this might be a day to prioritize Yelich as like a one-off. And he's expensive, so if you're one-offing him, he should be pretty low-owned on this slate. So Cubs side of things, the Cubs bats here. I don't know. Freddy Peralta is a guy that, like what you talked about, big strikeout stuff, but you know, he does give up a lot of hard contact and a lot of fly balls to both sides of the plate. Like, I think you're playing the power guys here. You know, obviously the strikeout upside and the strikeout floor is not great here, but like Baez, Bryant, Rizzo, these power bats, even like if Jock Peterson's in the lineup, like get all these power guys and hope he can get, you know, just tag Peralta a little bit here.
Absolutely. That's why I love this game for tournaments. I could see this game being 4-2 with each pitcher having like 9 strikeouts. And I could also see it being like 12-10 with 4 home runs from each team. Like it's the range of outcomes on this game is extreme. And obviously the weather is going to play a huge part in how we want to attack it.
Got to check the weather. Weather Edge is a great tool here at RotoGrinders. Kevin Roth has built an awesome weather tool and it's something that I check every single day, every day. Toronto Blue Jays, Texas Rangers, 9.5 total in this one. Toronto's a 130 favorite in this game. And we have Tanner Roark against Dane Dunning. It sounds like this is going to be like an opening situation for Texas. It's like Dunning's going to open and then Taylor Hearn is going to pitch 3 or 4 innings, I guess. I don't know. We'll start with the Toronto bats here. They are on the road, or the Toronto pitching. Do you have any interest here in Roark?
Texas isn't a lineup that really scares me. And Roark is pretty neutral splits. I like some of Texas's lefty power, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going there on this slate. It's Dahl, it's Gallo, and Lowe if I'm looking. I don't think I want to play Roark against him. There's no upside there whatsoever for strikeouts or anything like that.
Yeah, I think you take the risky strikeout guys in this like mid-ish tier to lower tier range and just hope that you're getting some strikeouts more than anything. Like, yeah, this lineup doesn't really scare you, but Tanner Roark is just not anybody. Like, he's not someone that's just going to go throw the ball by anybody, and he gives up a ton of fly balls and a ton of hard contact. And when you start doing that with guys like Gallo and Dahl and Lowe, like these guys have the power to like take you deep. So like runs could potentially add up really quick with this one. So let's go. Do you have any interest in Hearn or Dunning? Like this whole like opener situation, like
the problem is Dunning is a starting pitcher. So that just to me tells me that he's going to throw two or three innings. This isn't a one inning opener situation. And then we're going to have three or four or five innings from a starter coming in. I think it's going to be both of them at like 2 to 3 innings. So I really don't think you can play either one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can play either one of these guys on the slate. So let's talk bats. Anything that you like here for Toronto?
I do have some interest. I think I like Texas's plan here to kind of mix and match these two guys. They're both talented guys. So the first couple innings might be a little rocky, but Texas's bullpen's not very good. So I think that there can be some damage done here in the later innings. Probably not a full stack just because you're chasing a home run like fifth or later is what I'm kind of thinking here. So somebody like Biggio, Bichette, those are the types I'd be chasing some power here.
Yeah, and like, you know, obviously Hearn is a lefty, Dunning is a righty, so they're going to see a righty to start, then a lefty, and, you know, quick glance is they're very mixed bullpen. Lefty, righty, there's plenty of them. So I lean more in this scenario to guys like Bichette, Hernandez, Vlad, those types of guys, Biggio, like can that the guys that can hit, you know, pitchers from either side, lefties or righties. So, you know, I think Toronto is definitely in play. And if they do get to this Texas bullpen, they could have a day. So definitely a stack that I'm looking at on this slate. And then on the Texas bats, like I love Gallo. Like Rorick doesn't throw the ball by anybody and Gallo's 4,200. Like he's a guy that I'm really going to be home run chasing with in this slate.
I think all three of the lefties in the middle there, Dahl, Gallo, and Lowe, all of them have pretty big power. Obviously not Gallo is the one that stands out for sure. But I think you could take a shot on any of those three for sure.
Yeah. I hate how they do the lineup with like Solik in there. Maybe they don't do it today with it being a righty, but we'll see. All right, Coors Field. We got Luke Weaver, Herman Marquez facing off here. It's an 11 total. Colorado slight favorite at 125. Any interest here in Luke Weaver?
Not in Coors. There's just no chance I'm going there on the slate. I think the Rockies are a little bit down this year, losing Arenado, but I'm not chasing Weaver on the slate in Coors.
I don't know if you've looked, but like the Rockies are free today. Like outside of Blackman and Story, the Rockies are super free.
And the Diamondbacks aren't very expensive either.
Yeah, this makes for such an interesting slate. Mm-hmm. Any interest in Marquez here?
Tournaments only. Just in Coors, the strikeouts are so limited with the thin air, the huge outfield makes BABIP a huge problem. I think Marquez is a talented pitcher, but I just don't want to play him in Coors.
If this game was in Arizona, I'd have interest.
I'd be
in
all
him.
Over it. Yep. Agree.
So it's not that I'm like super worried about like home runs and stuff like that. I'm just worried about singles turning into doubles and long innings, you know, limiting pitch count. And like that just happens so much at Coors that it makes it really tough. Let's talk bats here. Let's start with Arizona. Like you said, nobody over 5K, everybody under 4,600 for Arizona in this one. What are we looking at when it comes to the Diamondbacks here?
I mean, Marte jumps off the page. He should be 5K in this matchup. Has a platoon advantage. Marquez gives up lefty power. I think Marte is probably one of the chalkier plays on the slate. Also don't mind if you want to, Rojas is cheap at the top of the order, potentially Peralta in the middle of the order. And I think Cabrera and Escobar, and then depending on how they fill out the lineup, the prices here for Coors Field, I understand Marquez is talented, but it's still Coors Field.
Yeah, like David Peralta is another one. Like Pavin Smith, if he's in the lineup, he's another lefty that is supposedly going to have some power. So I don't mind him at 2,700. So definitely interesting. Thought I had to see. There it went. So I think he's super interesting. If he cracks the lineup at 2,700, to get a $2,700 bat in Coors, he'll probably end up being pretty popular because he should hit in that like 6-7 spot. Steven Vogt, catcher, lefty. Just you're loading up on any of these cheap Arizona bats because it's Coors. And as talented as Marquez is, it's still such a tough spot in general here for him. And then on the Rocky side of things, like, man, this lineup is by means not sexy whatsoever, but like you still have Story and Blackman in the heart of the lineup, and they obviously have a ton of power and, you know, upside. But then you got guys like CJ Cron, who this guy has a lot of pop. I definitely like the Rockies here too.
I think what DraftKings did here is incredibly interesting. And I'm still kind of juggling how I'm going to deal with it. Like, usually this is the type of Coors game I would love to fade because I think both pitchers are pretty talented and they're going to give up runs. It's still Coors Field. But with the pricing being where it is, I'm more apt to take a shot. I'm very interested to see where ownership reductions come in on this, but yeah, for Colorado, Story, Blackman and Cron in the middle. I like McMahon a lot. Tapia, if he draws the leadoff spot, is definitely in play as well.
He's banged up, so it'd be interesting to see. He's dealing with a little bit of a neck injury. They said he would be available Sunday, so we'll have to kind of see if he's in there and what that like potentially means for this lineup if he's not. So pay attention. Got to be paying attention to when these lineups come out because it's weird. Like even like Van Meter for Arizona, like he's a second base, third base eligible player. That's 2,900. So if like he cracks the lineup, like there's a ton of stuff you're going to be looking at here. We move on. We got the Dodgers and the Athletics, 8 total. Dodgers, a 180 favorite. We got Kershaw against Bassett. Any interest here in Clayton Kershaw?
I do. And he gave up a few runs, but he was in Coors his first time out. He was looking like Kershaw of old a little bit last year. Oakland is a team that I do have respect for. There's a lot of power in that lineup. But I like taking, I don't think you play him in cash games, but I'll be playing Kershaw in tournaments.
Yeah. Like obviously this lineup is somewhat scary. You know, Kershaw not really striking anybody out. The xFIP was fine. It makes a ton of sense. His strikeout pitch is that massive dropping curveball that he likes to throw. And that thing's just not going to work in Coors. So I think he's in play in this spot, but I definitely respect the Oakland Athletics lineup. I also think that, you know, something that I talked about on the podcast yesterday, this game being in Oakland is definitely a bump for Kershaw because he doesn't have to hit. So like he might get those like extra 1-2, maybe even an extra inning when his spot comes up, like in Dodger Stadium and the game's close and he's getting pinch hit for, and this is just with them being in Oakland, it obviously helps his chances to stay in there a little bit longer. The other side here, like this is just going to be a common theme. I could just record it and keep saying it, but I'm not playing a right-handed pitcher against the Dodgers this season. I don't care if a dude goes out and throws a no-hitter against the Dodgers, I'll just lose because I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not going to play him. I mean, the top five is absolutely brutal, and it doesn't get much easier from there. So, just, yeah, 1 through 9 here, the Dodgers are stacked.
They get to add, like, Edwin Rios, too, who had a 377 ISO against right-handed pitching last season, like, in like, a DH role here. Like, no. Like, you're facing the Dodgers with a DH. Like, I'm out. I'm out anyway, but I'm out. Bassett last season, he definitely didn't have a bad season. Definitely gives up a ton of hard contact, has a little bit of strikeout ability. But, you know, you look up and down this lineup, Betts, Seager, Turner, Bellinger, they just don't strike out. The bottom of the order strikes out a little bit more, but overall this is usually a very tough lineup to face. What's standing out to you here for the Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, any of the studs, they're expensive is what's standing out to me. So to full stack these guys, you're not going to be able to play pitchers at the top end of the spectrum if you want to do a full stack. So I think that means you chase power here. Probably looking at like Bellinger, Muncy, Seager. I mean, I would love to full stack them, even though Bassett controls hard contact a little bit. But I don't think on this slate that that lineup construction is going to make sense.
Yeah. I mean, you want to stack the Dodgers every night, but the pricing on these guys is just so high. I was working on some stuff for premium yesterday, and I realized like on Yahoo, some of the Dodgers were a little bit cheaper. So like you have to definitely price shop if there's any site out there that, you know, the Dodgers are a little bit cheaper. I think Rios is someone you could look at 4K. You know, you could play him at first base, third base. He should be in the lineup here, and he's certainly somebody that has a lot of power. So if he cracks the lineup, I don't mind him. And then Oakland, like, I want to see how Kershaw pitches this game. And they're not a team that I, like, typically will stack against left-handed pitching either, because it's really Chapman, Khanna, and maybe Murphy. They'll play Olsen and these lefties, and they're just not very good lefty-lefty.
Yeah, Kershaw's just not somebody I have any interest in stacking against. Control's too good, limits hard contact, will strike a few people out. Not interested.
We move right along. We got San Francisco at San Diego. 8 total in this one. San Diego is a 210 favorite. Big favorites here. Obviously, it's Yu Darvish pitching against Aaron Sanchez. Let's start here with Aaron Sanchez. Any interest in him?
Coming back from injury, I don't think he pitched last year at all, did he?
I'm pretty sure he did not.
I mean, he's shown flashes in the past, but against the San Diego offense that's, I mean, top of the league, I'm probably not going to try him this time out. I know the price is right, and there's not a lot to like down here in the cheap pricing tier, but just against San Diego, I don't see it.
He struggled a lot in 2019, too, before he got hurt. Like, 350 plus WOBA to both sides of the plate, over 10% walk rate to both sides of the plate. Coming back from injury for someone that struggled with command already, obviously he's someone that I'm definitely worked about. He gave up 5 runs in 5 innings in spring training. Definitely had some strikeouts, so that was good. But I'll probably pass on Aaron Sanchez here. And it's really like, it's not even Aaron Sanchez. It's just the Padres lineup top to bottom is really, really strong.
I was going to say, if he gets rocked this time out and he's cheap in his next start, and I haven't looked at the schedule, I don't know who they're playing, but he's somebody that I think has some skills we might want to target it as he works his way back into form. But yeah, against the Padres, you can't do it.
Yu Darvish against the Giants, obviously the biggest favorite on the slate, highest priced pitcher on the slate, and probably the stud I think you're most likely paying up for on the slate.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Highest strikeout upside, limits walks, just all the skills you look for in a fantasy starting pitcher, he's got them. San Francisco, they do have a bit of talent from the left side of the plate, which is where Darvish struggles. But I'm still going to take a chance on the upside, probably cash game SP1, and going to play plenty of them in tournaments as well.
Is there any of the Giants bats that you're willing to take a shot on here against Darvish?
Yeah, I don't mind them as tournament one-offs for sure. Somebody like Yastrzemski, Brandon Belt, even if you want to go like Dickerson or LaStella, I didn't look at their prices. I imagine they're reasonably priced. But yeah, lefty power against Darvish is definitely a thing. So I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, and there, well, Yaz got scratched on Monday. He was dealing with like a left hand injury. So we'll have to kind of see if he's in there. Like, if he's not in there, man, it's definitely smooth sailing. And like, you're really worried about like Dickerson, maybe. So big upgrade for Darvish if Yaz is not in the lineup. And then as far as the Padres bats go, man, they're stackable, but they're expensive. Like you're paying a lot for this stack. It will definitely help if Cronenworth is batting leadoff again. Use him at second base at 3,600.
Absolutely. And I believe Bam was still cheap. Pull that up.
They priced him up a little bit. He's 3,900.
39. That, I mean, Bam is a talented hitter. Sanchez has struggled with control throughout his career. He has some talent, but I'm not scared of him. I don't mind Pham at 3,900.
Yeah. I don't ever hate playing the Padres. Like, I'm going to play them a ton this season. And Sanchez coming off of injury, a guy that, you know, struggled with some walks and stuff. Like, he's certainly somebody that I don't mind, you know, taking some shots on. So, Chicago White Sox, Seattle Mariners, 7.5 total, lowest total on the slate. Lucas Giolito against James Paxton. We'll start here with Lucas Giolito. I think he is right up there with Darvish on this slate. Like, the Seattle lineup is a major league lineup, but they're definitely not, definitely not somebody that, like, I'm gonna stay away from. You know, I'm going to respect him, but I think this is a great spot for Lucas Giolito.
I totally agree, and that's why I said I think Darvish is SP1, because Giolito, and I'll throw Glasnow in there as well. Like, you have three really talented pitchers at the top of the pricing tier here. Seattle strikes out a lot. Probably their best hitter is still on the injured list in Kyle Lewis. Giolito is absolutely somebody I have a ton of interest in.
And then Paxton on the other side, like, you know, I talked about Sheffield yesterday, and like, that game's just now getting started, and how much, like, Tim Anderson made a difference in and out of the lineup. Like, if they roll out the same lineup on Tuesday that they did on Monday, I think Paxton's very much in play. Like, obviously we don't know how, I can't even be like results oriented, because I don't even know how Justice Sheffield's going to pitch, but Paxton's a guy, 29% K rate last season, in a smaller sample size. Like, he's someone that can give up the long ball in bunches, but he's someone that can strike out guys in bunches as well.
I have a ton of interest in Paxton here. It's a risky matchup, but if Anderson is out, that takes away one of their top hitters. Obviously we're going to talk about Abreu in a second here, who's still a huge threat. But Paxton going to the Yankees, just a really tough ballpark to pitch in, and his velocity was way down. All reports are that he's kind of getting some of that back. And I mean, this is a guy that 2 years ago had as much strikeout upside as anybody in baseball. So absolutely somebody I'm willing to take a shot on in tournaments.
Yeah, you mentioned the ballpark too. Yankee Stadium is a tough place to pitch in general, not only for a lefty, but just in general. So I do think Paxton at 8,100 is someone that could really put up a big number. So again, really interested to see like how Sheffield pitches on Tuesday. I'll get to watch a little bit of that game in between podcasts, but let's talk bats. Anything standing out to you here for the White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox absolutely demolished left-handed pitching last year. Eloy Jimenez is the other guy that I'll mention. He's obviously out for a couple of months here, but he destroyed left-handed pitching. So if him and Anderson are out, that's another reason that you might take a stab on Paxton. But at the same time, same as I talked about with the Cubs and the Brewers game, I think this game could go either way, where you want to target both pitchers and you also want to target the White Sox here as well, because I could see the White Sox just absolutely rocking Paxton. If he comes out and he's having trouble hitting 93, 94 miles an hour again. Luis Robert, obviously, Jose Abreu coming off an MVP season has absolutely crushed lefties. Moncada, Mercedes is off to a blazing start. Grandal is scary. Andrew Vaughn is somebody who's hitting lower in the order, but has just a ton of power. I'll stack the White Sox for sure.
Again, it's one of those situations that, like, if you're playing like a 3-incher max, you could definitely hedge here. You could play Paxton on a team. You could stack the White Sox on the team too. Any interest in the Seattle bats here?
I played a ton of them last night. Well, you said that game's just as we're recording, this is just getting going. So I really liked them in the matchup last night. Giolito is not somebody I'm really looking to target though. I think there's more talent than they're probably being credited for. Their prices are cheap, but Giolito is just not somebody I want to target.
Yeah. Like, I don't know where he didn't really have a ton of weak spots last season. He gave up a lot of hard contact. And, you know, Kyle Seager is someone that will get a lot of hard contact when he makes contact and he hits the ball up in the air a lot. So I think if you're not playing Giolito on a team or something and you want to, you know, just kind of get different here a little bit, I think you'd be looking at like Haniger, France, Seager, like 1-2-3 right here. I think that's where you would potentially end up. But like, I think you could even play one-offs of Haniger or Kyle Seager and just leave France out of it if you wanted to, too, and just take some shots that way.
Is Trammell still free? Yeah, Trammell is 2,800. I mean, this is a top prospect. So, I mean, hitting from the left side against Giolito for free, I don't mind that.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. We'll start it off at pitching over there on DraftKings. Give me a guy under 8,000 to get six or more strikeouts today.
I'm going to take a stab on my guy, Alzolay. I think this Brewers team can strike out a little bit. We saw Trevor Williams have some success against them. So I think Alzolay can get it done.
All right. I'm going to go Freddy Peralta. Kind of stay in that same game. That. Yeah. I think those guys, I like, I don't mind Herman Marquez. If you're just chasing pure strikeouts in this like 7K range, like he has to be someone too that you even like consider, but it's Coors. Let's go over 8K to score under 15 DK points. Who's your bust at the top today?
Give me Paxton. We talked about, liking him potentially for tournaments, but the White Sox, even without Anderson or Jimenez, still have some power there. So I think Paxton.
I'm going to take Stroman. You know, I think when we get the bigger 10 plus game slates, obviously this question is a little bit tougher, but I think those are the two clear guys that you're the most worried about over 8K on the slate. Give me a guy over 4K, not in Coors, to hit a home run.
How about Pete Alonso? I like the reverse splits in that Philly ballpark. Huge upgrade in ballpark for Alonso. He can hit it out of anywhere, but give me Pete Alonso.
All right. I'm going to go Yelich. I talked about him mashing cutters earlier on the podcast. I'm still waiting for Christian Yelich to shake off 2020 and join us here in 2021 because he's way too talented for the season that he put up last year.
Yeah, I'm not rushing him in anything. If he wants to take half the season, that's fine by me.
Spoken like a true Cubs fan. Under 4,000 to get two hits, not in Coors. Who do you got on the cheap end today? You play half a Coors in this range today.
Yeah, I know. That's insane. I got to figure out what to do with that. But I think a guy that stood out to me, Tanner Roark, is somebody that gives up a ton of contact. Give me David Dahl for 3,500.
I like it. I almost picked Joey Gallo as my home run. So I like that one. I'm trying to find – I keep, like, scrolling, and I keep getting on to guys in Coors. I don't know really what to expect out of Martin Perez, but give me Margot. He's always someone that I like to get base hits. He's not always someone that's going to hit the ball at the ballpark, but definitely like him in this spot. Give me a stack, not in Coors, to score six or more runs today.
I mean, obviously San Diego, LA stand out. I'm going to go off the board a little bit. Give me the Cubs. I think Peralta has trouble with the control. I think the Cubs can put up some runs.
I always like going off the board. I always like giving out a stack that might be really low owned. Yeah, I mean, so
the Dodgers and Padres might score 6 runs on every slate this year, let's be honest.
I'm going to go Texas Rangers. Really like the Rangers today, and I think this is a good spot to throw them out there as a cheap, maybe even like a secondary stack. To finish this out, any over under against spread or just money line that you're looking at here? I guess it would be money line, not against the spread, because baseball.
Well, there's like run line bets, I think, would be against the spread, right?
Sure.
Not that I have one of those picked out, but it's. The White Sox minus 115, is that what I'm seeing?
White Sox opened at minus 150, so I don't know if it's been bet down or not.
No, that must be today. I'll take the White Sox minus 150. I've got more faith in Giolito than Paxton. A little bit longer, a little bit wider than I'd like. I'd like to get it closer to 110, 120, but I'll take the 150.
I'm going to take the over in the Texas game. I just got them talking about how I like that game in general. So that game's currently sitting at 9.5. I'm going to take the over in that one. If you want more of my betting picks, you guys check out Scores and Odds. I tweeted out the link that you guys could use for my code. So if you like my picks, you could sign up through my code. And I'll be providing baseball picks there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I provide NASCAR picks on there. So make sure you guys are checking that out. That's going to wrap it up here for baseball podcast for Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more baseballs and all that stuff. So good luck, everyone. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.